This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Season 3. This is so exciting. We've had two under our belt.
Amen. That's good.
It's been really good.
It's been some good conversations. It's been good opportunities. Hopefully, the listeners have had some good information, has some opportunities to really listen and be challenged and be encouraged and be willing to look at themselves in the mirror, be willing to see the areas they need to break the cycle of their own self-abuse. Now yeah. We're going to challenge or inform them on other areas.
Yeah, this season is called Revolutionizing Recovery. So we're going to look at all things as it pertains to recovery and really kind of blow people's minds with regard to new perspectives, new takes on recovery and how people have progressed through it. So when you were thinking about this subject of revolutionizing recovery, what was God really speaking to you in that moment about this subject and what you wanted people to really know?
I want people to be, you know, like to really start thinking about when we say word recovery, a lot of us immediately go, I think, one or two places. We go to drug and alcohol recovery 12-step programs, or we go to, if I say, oh, so-and-so is in recovery, they'll ask, is it from surgery or is it from drugs? So I want to revolutionize it to talk about it in such a bigger way.
To include more areas.
To include, to let people know that recovery is bigger than surgery, and it's bigger than drugs and alcohol. I do believe you have to have some surgery in order to find the pain, the source of the pain you're really in, but I think it's bigger. Because when you have surgery, you have the surgery, then they take you to the recovery room to make sure that you wake up from the anesthesia, to make sure that there's no complications, to make sure, because they want to make sure that they got the source of why they went into whatever they were having the surgical procedure for. And then when you come into a recovery program, if you can see it, that's probably not the problem. So you should be coming in to have surgery from the inside out. And I want to revolutionize it to include more than just those two things and to really talk deeper about pain, really. I really want to talk more about pain as recovery than anything. I hear people talking about, as we have entered in to March 1st, as of today, 2021, and people are still looking to get back to normal. Mm. What's normal? Why would you, again, want to, what was normal? And if you're so quick to get back to normal, then that means that you did not face and take the opportunity that you had for 2020 when life was slowed down a year ago. What's normal? What are you getting back to? And so I think that revolutionizing recovery, and when you look at that word, it says to radically transform the metamorphosis of something. I want to transform recovery, the word itself. I want to talk about, you know, there's three phases in a change, but they're all in one, the past, the present, and the future, just like people. We come in three ways, my past, my present, my future. My metamorphosis, it's all in one. It's all here. It's just how do I revolutionize it and how do I discover it? How do I bring it out? So I think that we have to look at recovery from a different lens.
In the people that are in your life, have you had opportunities to open their eyes to see that recovery is a lot bigger than just the two areas?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I think the people I work with every day are the people I've worked with from the time of my own journey to realize that if I just wanted to not go back to prison, then all I would have to do is not do the crimes, right? But then I had to dig deeper to say, why was I doing the crimes? And so the surgical procedure was to go deeper into the why. Okay, why was I committing crimes? And then once I realized why I was committing them, then why did I feel that way? And then once I realized why I was feeling that way, well, why did I do that? So it's always about the why, getting back to the why of the what and the how. So that's why I said the past, the present, the future is all in one. And if we don't deal with all three of those areas, if I don't go back and deal with my past from my patterns or the people or the pain, then I'm not going to discover and uncover why I need to recover. And what is it I'm trying to recover? And re means to do again, and cover, you know, means to cover. Like, so I'm going to find something out again about myself. And so the reality of it is that we have to be willing to look at the etymology of the word, you know, the history, the origin. Where does it even come from, the root? What is the meaning? And a lot of times I think we look at surface stuff when it comes to looking at recovery and how deep do you want to go. Some people just want surface. Some people just want to get off drugs. Some people just want to not drink. Some people just want to not steal. Some people just want to not gamble. Some people just want... That's what they want not to do. Some people just want to not overeat. Some people just want to stop overeating and then binging and then throwing up and become anorexia. Some people want to stop those things. But if you look in the mirror, most of the time we don't really see the reality that is the truth. We see the reality that we've begun to believe. So when I call it to revolutionize recovery, I want to really start talking about how do we change our mindsets? How do we shift our thinking? How do we shift our perceptions? How do we look at it in a deeper, deeper way? And I know that we all know this, but some people would rather stay the same than deal with the pain. And so, you know, when I look at the, you know, even the etymology of the word pain is called pi. In the origin, which means to protect. PA means to protect. So when you then look at it, and it all so means to feed. And so the origin of just the PA, which means pie, meaning in the root word of the history, and then you put in there, which means enclosed, you put them together and you have pain. So that means you protect, you feed, and you enclose what's really going on.
That's enlightening.
And so you think to yourself, yeah, you think to yourself, really, the more I enclose it, the more I feed it, the more I hide it, the more I surround it, it's inside, it's internal, it holds power. I don't want to expose it. I don't want to seem weak. I don't want someone to see me be naked and unashamed. And it was until I was willing to look at myself totally in my own pain. Like I tell people, I didn't go to prison because I was necessarily a bad person. I broke the law, and of course that sent me to prison. But I went to prison because I was addicted to pain. I was protecting and feeding and enclosing and surrounding the very core of what was causing me pain. And so I was trying to take control out of something else. And we talked about today people who are, you know, chronological, you know, they steal all the time. You know, you called it it's called the word I can't
remember. Kleptomaniac.
Kleptomaniac.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so when you look that up, even that word, It's about you are constantly embedded in taking. And really what it is that you are creating, you have no boundaries. You don't even have rationalization of why you're doing it. And so unconscious. Most of it is not even conscious.
Right.
You just
right.
are stealing. And I remember when I was a thief And I guess I would call myself a kleptomaniac at that point. You know what I mean? And people, now I realize the reason that I was that way was because of pying, which is the original word of pain. So I was, someone stole something from me at a young age. So when they stole from me and violated my boundaries, then I began to do the same thing to other people. And so then I became a kleptomaniac, and then I became a thief, and then I proclaimed that I was going to get better at it, and people wasn't going to catch me. And so I would then, you know, created this world that didn't really, was not a reality. And it sent me to prison 5 times. So some people would think, well, why didn't you learn the first time? Because every time I went and got out, I thought I'd be better at it the next time.
Like you'd learned a lesson.
Exactly. But the lesson was, I'm going to be better next.
You're going to be better, right.
Because I wasn't ready to face the pain. I wasn't ready to look at the embryo. Most of us think about embryo as a child. But I'm talking about embryo of things we birth inside of ourselves. It's an embryo. It's something that, which means to innate. It's in us. We talk about generational curses. It comes through the blood. Certain things come to us by choice, and some of things come to us by birth.
Right, right. Like kind of like epigenetics type
exactly.
of things. Yeah.
You know, it just kind of comes in because of it's been in our bloodline. And so therefore, we have to be willing to deal and revolutionize our own recovery in a bigger way. We have to be willing to look at it and say, what is an embryo? It's something that grows. And it grows inside. It's a utero. It's the early stages of development. Pain has a stage. It has an age. Are we willing to look at the stage and the age of the pain and go back and look at it to a way that we bring ourselves up in a development so we can grow in a different direction? And most of us don't want to do that.
Yeah, going back to the conception of it, if you will.
Exactly.
Like an embryo, it starts to grow after the inception
has
occurred. So, or the conception, I should say.
Yeah, and so you've got to go back there.
Yeah.
And deal with the conception of where it was birthed. And how much of it have you nursed through that birth? And are you willing to take the responsibility that you took? A lot of people have hurt us through life, and a lot of things have hurt us. But there comes a time in our lives that self-responsibility is the biggest thing we have to take. We have to be willing to open our own eyes to the conception that whatever we birthed in us, when it started, and how we have let it grow over the years to become even bigger than our own identity. So now the thing that we let that we protected and fed us, it has become who we think we are. And that's not who we are.
It's also a familiar spirit.
Exactly.
So to speak. I mean, if your life has been full of pain, and maybe this is what you meant by being addicted to pain, but if your life has always been full of pain, or the majority of what you've experienced in life is pain, it is scary. You may not consciously think this, but it's scary to think what your life would be without that pain, because it's familiar, you know it, you know how to live with it, you know how to adjust your life around it.
Well, you've become comfortable and conditioned by it.
Right, yeah.
And so therefore, when you've become conditioned and comfortable with it, then yes, it's familiar. That's why you keep feeding it and protecting it. And even though you don't realize that you're doing it, it's so unconscious, it's so innate, it's so natural that we do it and we don't even realize we're doing it.
Right, right.
And then when you finally get to some level of a stage of the metaphor, you know, or when you look at the metaphor of it, or you look at the metaphor, you know, you kind of look at it all and you say, oh my God. And you step back from it and you say to yourself, ah, I was kind of like I became the victim to it.
Mm.
I became the victim to the thing that I said that I would never let happen to me, then I became the very thing that I said I wouldn't do. And most of us do that.
Yeah.
Without even consciously being aware of it.
Right. Becomes an identity too.
It does. That's what the metaphors, you know, when I look at metamorphosis, and also if you look at meta, you know, you can morph into something that you don't even realize that you're morphing into. Because when a butterfly is a butterfly, it was a butterfly when it was a caterpillar. It was a butterfly when it was in the cocoon. It was a butterfly. It was always what it was going to be. But if in any of those stages that it stopped producing what it was going to become, it can die off at any point. If someone moves from that place, right, then, you know, you don't even know you've moved from that place. You don't even realize that you've gotten so morphed into the thing you're dealing with that you can't even move. And then you're stuck in it. And then it's almost like quicksand. And you keep drowning in the same space all the time. And you wonder, and I think about the children of Israel, and they kept going around the same old, it took 40 days. That took 40 years. But it was because they was choosing, it was working things out of them and working things in them. So it was necessary, but it was a 40-day trip that took 40 years. Some of us get it quick, some of us get it slow, and some of us just don't get it. And that's a reality.
Yeah.
We have to embrace the reality that some of us just don't get it.
Yeah. Related to that, it reminds me of folks who feel compelled to point out to someone who's not in the process that that's what they're struggling with, when the person is not able to hear it, that they're, you know, they're addicted to the pain, they're stuck in this cycle. And I think it takes a certain amount of maturity to know when you can say that to someone when they can hear it.
And I think that most people, I go back to over the 25 years I've worked with different people in the ministry that I started, which is Having the Courage to Change. And the reason that I started the ministry was because when I got out of prison, there was not a lot of places that was geared or bent towards what I needed. What I needed was a safe space to go back and be the child that when the pain, exactly when I birthed the pain, when the pain was birthed. And they call it, you know, there's a book out called Healing the Child Within. And so I needed some space and time, and there was just no kind of programs out there at that time, that was in 1992, that would give me that kind of space and time that I needed to go back and work with the little girl inside of me, even though I was a 32-year-old woman. And so when you say, ask the question, how do you decide when someone, or how do you share it and they can hear it? I'm not sure when that moment comes, but I believe that there's a clarion call and there's a trumpet that blows inside of us. I call it the trumpet for me, that there's a sound that happens. And I believe for me, in 1992, the sound came, early part of 1992. And when I look back at it now, almost 29 years later, there was a moment of opportunity that I had to become uncomfortable with what I became comfortable with. Mm. And so I feel like that was a time in my life that even the very thing I had gotten familiar with was becoming unfamiliar. And I just remember when I was in prison the last time, when I had done prison time, you know, over 16 years in and out of prison. But it was that moment and that time that when I was there, there was something that just wasn't comfortable no more. And I can't really put my hand on it, but I believe it was, I said it before, it was like chronological and Kairos kissing. natural and spiritual, practical and spirit. They were kissing each other, and they were shaking on each side of me like you would shake a child and try to shake out something. And I feel like in that moment, that sound was like, this no longer is working, but I don't know how to get out of it. And I believe that life just kind of showed up the day and that moment that I said to myself, you know, if somebody be willing to teach me, I'll be willing to learn. And I think, again, the same prophecy I put over myself as a child in the conception of my pain, when I then spoke and said, if someone would be willing to teach me to live, I would be willing to learn. I think so, me saying it again to myself opened up the doors of opportunities to show up, and I still had to walk through them. So when you say, do we know? I don't think, and that was the whole premise of me wanting to start a program, because you don't know when the time is coming. You know, some people would say, you know, 5 times in prison as an adult should have been enough. Well, I should have. The first time should have been enough. But evidently, I wasn't willing to face the reality of the pain I was in. So then some people would say, well, what made this time different than that time? I don't think I had a lot to do with this time, as much as I took responsibility to take the opportunity when it was presented.
Yeah.
And I was willing to at least take a look at, why do I keep doing this to myself? What is the what and the why behind the what? Why am I doing this? Why do I keep going to prison? Why do I say that I want to be in control of my life, but then I give someone else control? Why do I do that?
It's ironic.
It's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Why am I doing that?
Yeah.
What is that really, really about? And so I think I had to learn how to separate myself, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
From, and to be open to going back to realize that pain is really a signal that something's present, but it's out of order. So I had to learn to stop living in it in a way that said it was okay. If you break your leg and you're in pain, you go to the hospital for them to reset it. And usually they put it in a cast, or they may have to do surgery. But eventually you recover from the break. But the pain of the break is presented to let you know something's present, but it's out of order. We shouldn't get so comfortable with stuff being out of order in our lives.
Yeah, but again, that kind of goes back for some folks. It's like an addiction, and they have to.
It has become a mindset.
Yeah.
They are more familiar with the chaos and the disorder. And so why take a chance on being friends with something you don't know?
Yeah.
When you already become best friends with something you're familiar with.
Right. It feels like such a part of you to
because
be with
it's
that.
Trust. Yeah. You know what it you know the outcome.
Yeah.
So to give that up, it takes a lot of you reckoning with yourself to be willing to let go and to let not someone pry it out of your hands, but for you to open your hands so it can begin to fall out. And that's what I believe for me, when all the things began to line up, when I made that comment while I was still in prison and said, if somebody would be willing to teach me how to live, I would be willing to learn, because this can't be living. And then things began to line up.
And God met you in that too.
He met me. It was life's way of Kairos, I call it. I mean, I'm telling you, it's something that happens in all of us. And we have to begin. And even as we move on this journey, we're going to hear different voices this time, because there's had with everyone, I believe mine was a small, still voice, but there's a sound that comes to us that revolutionizes us. Come on, that radically transforms us. And it's a moment, and we have to step in that moment at that time. And when we do, everything that we need shows up.
Yeah. It reminds me of the guy that waited by the water to be healed. And once, you know, he would see other people go into the water and get healed, and Jesus came along and healed him. But he asked him that question, would you be healed?
He said, will thou be made whole?
Yeah, yeah.
And the man didn't say yes. No, he didn't say yes. Oh, yeah, I'll be healed. No, yeah, Jesus heal me. No, he said. everybody, that every time the water is trembling, oh, my God, they walk over me.
Yeah.
There's nobody to carry me to the pool. And he start making excuses.
Excuses, yep.
And the Jesus like, I didn't import my, I can just see this moment. No, I didn't ask you that. I asked you, do you want to be made healed? Do you want to be whole? Do you want to be healed again? Do you want to be who you really were meant to be? If so, be self-responsible. Pick up that bed and start walking.
And go. Yeah.
And go.
He had a choice. That was his. That was
he
his
participated.
Guy. Right. And that was his moment.
And that was his moment.
Yeah.
And he almost missed it with excuses,
yep.
Which we do so often. We come up with all kind of excuses. I've done it. Instead of seeing it from the opportunity that this is my moment.
Yeah.
And we, in this season right now, we're in from COVID and, you know, coronavirus and everything shutting down and making history. 2020 is a history making year. I am suggesting we not keep making excuses for staying the way we are, whether it's dealing with social justice, whether it's dealing with racial reconciliation, whether it's dealing with women, whether it's dealing with, you know, all the economical injustice that's happened throughout the years. And America's not broken. It was built this way. So we don't need to recover something. We need to destruct it and rebuild again.
Tear it down and build it back up.
Exactly. It was built that way.
We need to have a revolution. That's right.
Exactly.
Getting back to that. Yeah. Yep.
So we don't need to go recover something in that perspective. We need to revolutionize it. America was built to divide, to make sure that there was always somebody up and somebody down, instead of us all being up together. And we've got to change that thinking and know when the moment comes and not miss it. Let's not just, you know, kind of mamby-pamby people and do stuff and take, you know, Miss Butterworth and take this off and do these kind of superficial stuff.
Right. Things that may not have a deeper change.
Exactly. Let's
or
go
deeper and, effect.
Let's go
say.
To the core.
Yeah.
And revolutionize it.
Right.
That's what I want to do with this topic, this episode, this season. I want to revolutionize recovery. I want to go to the core of it.
Go deep.
And go deep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be really good. And I think it's going to offer a lot of hope to folks.
That is my hope. Yeah. That is my prayer.
Yep.
That is my purpose. That's why I do it.
Well, folks, we're going to end this episode right here. If you have any comments, we would really love to hear from you. Just your thoughts, even questions that you might have, anything. The email address is in the description of this podcast. And we'll see you guys next time. Hey there. Before you go, I wanted to share with you a cause that is very near and dear to Lucretia's heart. That is City Gospel Mission. City Gospel Mission has operated in the Cincinnati area since 1924, providing recovery services to those who have life-controlling issues, food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, youth services, and job services. To find out more about how to give or to volunteer, go to www.citygospelmission.org. That's www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lucretia Bowman.